You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday, welcome to All Marine Radio. Pretty amazing weekend, I think, for everybody. As you know, a bit of a historic weekend for a number of reasons, and we'll talk about that today. The I think. When you look at what happened over the weekend, it was pretty jaw-dropping. And, you know, I had people that, you know, talked about the 60s and whatnot. And I, you know, I don't agree. You know, you had, you know, national protest. And we're going to talk about that. And, you know, you had that video. And, I mean, it's jarred the nation in a big way, as well it should. And so, you know, you had a national reaction to all this. And, but then what happened was something else happened. Something else happened inside or underneath the cover of these demonstrations, right, on a serious issue in the nation. And so I want to talk about that today. One, the issue, and I have to tell you, and Will Cosentini is going to join me in the second hour, and we're going to kind of pull it apart. But if I asked you to give me your opinion based on what you've seen. If the number of police shootings of unarmed people of all races is that going up, down, or sideways, what would you tell me? Well, based on the coverage that I've seen, I would tell you it's going up. And among unarmed black men, you know, that number's gone up. But the truth is that that's not, in fact, the case. And so, to me, what you saw over the weekend is a huge reaction by the nation, right, on the back of, right, two idiots in Georgia murdering a black guy who's running through their neighborhood. I don't know. Right now, the police don't have anything to do with that. But the videos, back to back, pretty significant, I think, to, you know, people's response. Now, so the question, and you know, we'll talk about this in, more in the second hour. So the question, you know, is, well, what's the truth? What's the truth relative to unarmed people being killed by the police? Well, you know, so I started looking into that. And the Washington Post maintains a database, and they've done it since 2015. I think, when was Ferguson? 2015? So I think since Ferguson, right? Let me just get the date of Ferguson. 2014, in August of 2014. So the Washington Post has kept a database. So data from that database monitors the number of unarmed victims of lethal force by the police. In 2015, there was 94. And again, the reason I think this is significant is what's the trend? So when we look at this the protests around the country, you know, all right, so what is the trend? And one of the things I've always tried to do with All Marine Radio, and before that when I did my radio show called Mac Talk, is that, you know, the truth is important. The truth is really important in these issues. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Nowhere in the media did I see any of this over the weekend, which, in my opinion, is scary. You know, and that's scary to me. When the truth isn't a part of the story, then something's fucking wrong. All right, so from the Washington Post database, total number of unarmed victims of lethal force by the police in 2015, it was 94. In 2016, it was 51. Almost a drop of 50%. In 2017, it jumps up to 69. In 2018, it drops to 47. So now that's, you know, that's practically, you know, well, that is 50% of what it was 3 years earlier. In 2019, it decreased again to 41. So now between in 4 years, in 5 years, 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19, you have a close to what is 41 of 94. Let me do the math. 41 divided by 94 equals 43. You have a 57% decline. You have a 57, actually, I'll round it up. So you have a 56% decline in the number of people that have died, right, unarmed people that have died by lethal force at the hands of the police department. Now, that wasn't part of the narrative over the weekend. I won't say narrative. It wasn't part of the reporting over the weekend. I'm not a Holocaust denier, okay? I'm not. I didn't come on here to say, you know, that this is not a problem, because it is. Okay, and I won't, you know, the standard boilerplate statement, one person dying is one too many. Yeah, I fucking got it. Okay, so I didn't come on here to say that this is not a problem. I'm just saying the truth is important, and the trend line is down. Okay, and it's been down since 2015, and it's been down year after year after year. The other data point that I'll give you, and when Will joins me, we'll talk about this, is, all right, so how about black people? Okay, so the overall numbers going down, what about percentages? So let me give you percentages. In 2015, black males comprised 40% of those that were killed that were unarmed. Whites were 34. In 2016, the black number goes down to 37. The white number jumps up to 43%. In 2017, the year that all the numbers jump up, black percentage continues to go down to 30%. So it's down 10% in 3 years. The white number continues to go up. It's now 45%. In 2018, the black number goes up to 36. The white number goes up to 49%. And in 2019, the black number drops to 22%. So in 5 years, not only has the number of blacks, the number total dropped, the percentage of blacks being killed by lethal force has almost dropped by 50%, has dropped by 45%, 46%? So it's decreasing in totals, and the percentage, right, of black victims of that is decreasing as well. Now, again, to me, that ought to be a part of the story. But the reason I found this is I started looking into the mental health aspect of it. And so as you look at this problem, and again, the video of that police officer, right, sitting on Mr. Floyd as cool as a cucumber, like he was ordering lunch or some shit. And you're looking at that, and you're looking, and again, mind you, if you read the report that summarized in an article that I saw yesterday, and you can see it on the video, you know, he did not pose a threat to the police officer. He didn't fight them, but he didn't want to get in the car. So he resisted, but he wasn't a threat to them, right? And now there's four of them. Even though he's over 6 feet and over 200 pounds, four police officers cannot get a handcuffed black man into a police car. I think they can. And he's already subdued on the ground. What's the point of the knee to the back of the head and the neck? Why? And so what I see, and I've had interesting discussions with my kids about this over the weekend and whatnot. You know, people say, well, to me, it's straight up racism. I said, that's not what I see. I see hate. I see hate and a sick fucking guy with a shit ton of complaints against him. Why is that guy still a cop? So to me, what I went down the road to talk about is mental health and police officers. Now, I have police officers in my extended family. And I will tell you this, you cannot keep those guys on the street for 20 years and think that they can walk, there'll be normal people again. It's, you can't do it. Look at police numbers relative to alcoholism, you know, drug, recreational drug use, divorce, and suicide. And I will tell you this, those numbers are bad numbers, because that only tracks active cops. It's like what I learned about firefighters. You know, the firefighter suicide numbers are active duty firefighters. They don't track retired guys that take their own life. So the number's substantially higher than what's reported. So that's what I went, that's what I was headed down the road to talk to about, in my opinion, the significance of, if you're interested in making that number to continue to decline, to take that shit to zero, that nobody who's unarmed, you know, has their life taken away from them by a police officer in this country. Nobody. By a law enforcement officer, police, sheriff, whoever. You know, then to me, I wanted to talk about the mental health piece of it. So, but, and so that led me to, okay, so, you know, what's the truth about all of this? So, and so we'll talk about that in the second hour. Will Cosentini's going to join me. The other thing, though, that hit me over the weekend, like it hit a lot of people, was this slow realization and kind of like what hit me on September 11th, 2001. So I went into work that day. I was getting ready to do Mac Talk, and I think I went on the air at 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. And so I get to work, and I'm kind of getting ready, and one of our salespeople says, hey, did you see that a plane hit the World Trade Towers? And I said, well, I heard the report. What happened? Is it bad weather? And so I was walking down the hall with her, and they had a small TV in their office where they had their cubicles. And now, remember, this is 2001. We didn't even have a TV monitor in our studio. I mean, that's changed for everybody now, but we didn't at the time. And so we walked in there, and the first thing you noticed was there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It's like, well, how could a plane have hit? You know, did it have, you know, engine failure, or what could have happened? And so we're standing there talking, and the second plane hits. And with that is the numbing realization that somebody's attacking your country. And that's the sensation I felt watching the stuff that we've all watched over the weekend. That there is legitimate outrage and legitimate demonstrations going on around the country. Those demonstrations are then directed by a force that's operating against the nation. Now, I don't know if it's Antifa, I don't know if it's other organizations, but to me, what you see is very well thought out, very well orchestrated. And what they do is they are the igniters of mobs. All right, so they take a demonstration and they turn it into a mob and a riot. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have security in terms of we all have our cell phones on and we all have our Bluetooths in, right? And so in the vicinity of, you know, where a whole bunch of people are, we're going to set fires and we're going to take whatever. And it might be we just, you know, the reports I've seen that said they have hammers and we're just going to blow out the windows. And then once we blow out the windows, we'll go in, but we don't stay in because we're not really interested in looting the place. You know, we'll allow others to do that. And then we'll go to the next building, and then we'll go to the next building. And then, so what you're seeing is anarchists taking over American cities. And they can move faster than the police can respond. And now you have the National Guard out there trying to help. Well, I mean, the National Guard, if you look at the National Guard out there, I mean, nobody's got a magazine in their weapon, so they're not armed, right? Even though they have their weapons with them. And so to me, you know, what you see is a lot like what you see in Hong Kong with the demonstrations. Those things happen, and then, you know, then they communicate via apps, and they can create a virtual network with their Bluetooth. That's what has been done in Hong Kong. So they're not using the text messaging network. They're not using, you know, voice communications. They can use an app that allows you to link to another Bluetooth device locally, you know, when you're in proximity, and that's how these things get linked. So it's so, but and I was reading about that, reading about the demonstrations in Hong Kong, but watching that over the weekend, I mean, I mean, I've seen people describe it as sickening, as whatnot. But that is not a part of, you know, the demonstrations relative to Mr. Floyd. It is, and his death. And the subject of the killing of unarmed black men, people of any color. That's not that discussion. That is a separate agenda that seeks to what? Right? Create anarchy in the United States? Really? Is that where we're at with that? And then what happens? It spread throughout the country. And you continue to see reports that the people that are being arrested aren't from the cities that were impacted. And then you see crazy stuff. And I don't know, a woman, 27-year-old woman from upstate New York, and her sister, who are believed to be members of Antifa, she threw a Molotov cocktail into a police van that had four police officers inside of it. Think about that. She tried to incinerate four police officers. Except the Molotov cocktail did not, it had a piece of toilet paper and not a piece of cloth. So when it exploded inside the, you know, when the bottle broke, when she threw it inside the police van, it didn't ignite. Mercifully, right? Mercifully. And so, I mean, what is that? What is that? You had a federal law, the contractors that one of those guys killed up in Oakland, California, and you're watching stuff, and that's why to me, you know, the demonstrations in the '60s, I mean, they were about civil rights, and there were, I mean, some of those demonstrations were huge. And sometimes there was violence with the police as protesters, you know, were being pushed out of certain areas. You know, I can remember fires being set and tires. I don't remember, you know, call me crazy, but I don't remember looting taking place. Now, when you had the Watts riots and the riots in Newark and Detroit, I mean, those were different. But the demonstrations of the '60s, that wasn't over issues. That wasn't a part of it. So, I mean, it's to me, this past weekend is different in that there's a sinister element. I use the word sinister. I don't have a better word that is using the cover and concealment of a legitimate protest and is using it for its own purposes. Whether it be anarchy, I would imagine there's gangs that are involved in stealing, right, for money. And if you notice, I know here in Los Angeles, they went to Rodeo Drive, which is up in Beverly Hills, and that's where they looted. So, I mean, you know, it's like they had a target list and they prosecuted the target list. And it wasn't, you know, down in Compton or Watts or the places that historically have seen, you know, burning and looting and things like that. It was in other parts. There's a mall called The Grove, and it is it's this unbelievable place. It's this mall Between, I want to say, Hollywood and Beverly Hills, if I'm not mistaken, in the Fairfax area of Los Angeles. It's gorgeous, place. Very affluent. I mean, they went there and they broke into the stores there. And so to me, this past weekend was different. This past weekend was different. The sad part is that it's a serious issue. Policing and how it's done, and the continued, these incidents that continue to happen, right? That's a serious discussion. But I'd say this: in the course of getting ready to do this today, what I've learned is not the narrative that I see on TV. If I listen to what I see on TV, it is directly contradicted by the data. Okay? And so, Will's going to join me in the second hour, and we'll talk about the data. We'll talk about the issue. We'll talk about the media's role in all of this. About seeking the truth and whatnot, and what happens when all that comes together. The other thing that we'll watch for is, the National Guard has been called out, and yet these things don't seem. I mean, there's been curfew. I got a text message last night on my cell phone. Costa Mesa has declared a citywide curfew from 8 p.m. tonight to 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. You can get more information by going to costamesagovernment.com. So, or something like that. Yeah, curfew in effect. Might the U.S. military be called out? I mean, Marines from the 1st Marine Division called out during the L.A. riots. Might they be called out? Because, I mean, honestly, this shit has to end. And again, to me, it's not the protesters that are doing this. There's other elements out there, other subversive elements that are using this for one, I believe, to further their cause of anarchy, and two, there's criminal elements that are just out there stealing shit. And so it'll be interesting to see what the president does if active duty military units are mobilized and sent to major cities to put a lid on this shit. And I would, in my opinion, he should do that. He should do that as a measure of deterrence. That you're going to see, military units going to major cities, and we're gonna put a little, we're gonna put an end to this. But it's pretty grim realization that somebody's attacking your country. And I've watched the whole Antifa thing, here as this show has developed. And to me, I hate them, man. Because what you see is, I mean, would they ever fight you? And the answer to that is no. But in a group, they pick on people. I saw him beat up a reporter, I want to say, who was covering them in Portland. And he wasn't a big guy. But he had written about them, he'd covered them, he covered their, their practices, the way they do stuff. And when they realized it was him, I mean, they turned. I mean, they hit him in the head with a brick. And I mean some little mousy son of a bitch threw it. He'd never fight you, right? Living in his mom's basement, believes in anarchy is, the way. I mean, come on, shit like that. And they descend on people. And I remember, what was it, last year when the mayor of Portland allowed a demonstration, and these people just, ran amok. So I have a bad place in my heart for them. I had a bad place in my heart for them. And so anyway, Will's going to join me. We'll kind of dissect this. And let me tell you, my original premise was, I want to get to a discussion about mental health of police officers, because to me, that's how you continue to drive this down, and the ability to, for police forces to be great organizations. And you can't do that without, the ability to, get rid of you know, people that are not, right? People that are not capable of doing that work. And I would tell you this, I don't know how long you should be allowed to go out into the streets as a patrol officer. I think there should be a cap on that. Because, I mean, can you imagine going to war every year? You know, every time, you know, you put on a gun every day, you go out there and you go into that environment in a major urban area in this country. How many years can you do that before you're so jaded by what you see, you know, between the violence, between the threats to your lives, between child abuse, between murder, you know, yada, 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 until you're around the bend? How many years? How much can you see? I think I would tell you 19 years is way too many years. And so I don't know if policing needs to be fundamentally changed so that you can maybe be a police officer for a patrolman for 8 years. That's a swag, right? And then after that, if you don't become part of the leadership of the organization, so you're not a sergeant, you're not a lieutenant, you're not something else by then we've got a police GI Bill for you that's going to allow you to go to college and you know, you can buy a home and some other stuff. But you're not going to be a 19-year-old patrolman, a 19-year veteran patrolman. But what we've seen is you're going to get your life destroyed, you know. And so if you read the literature out there relative to police officers, you know, 70 to 80% the national average is 50% of marriages end in divorce. Police officers at 70 to 80% in most urban areas. The rate of alcoholism and the rate of alcohol abuse and drug abuse is higher than the national average in police departments. And suicide, higher. Police officers live on an average 10 years less than their civilian counterparts. So, I mean, those are help us save you from yourself. You just can't put people in that environment for that many years and think that they're going to live any semblance of a normal life. So maybe we should put an end to that. And again, you could have a career in law enforcement, but you can't be a patrolman for more than X number of years. It'll kill you. So, yeah, so that was in my head, and I had a number of conversations with people about that over the weekend. And in particular, I had a conversation with somebody who's a spouse of a former spouse of a cop, and she says that, you know, she told me it's bad, and you can see it, you can see him going, but you know, there's this macho thing that this is what I do, and I can deal with it. You know, other cops, and it's a tough guy thing. And in the meantime, their whole life is coming apart. And so hence my thought about the mental health piece of it. But to me, the issue is broader than that, and the issue is more complex than that. And so we'll talk about that. But the biggest thing, that 2 points from the weekend for me, one is there's something, some other force out there working that's using these, hijacking these, directing. And again, it's the, what you can do with it is there's this energy in a demonstration, and it doesn't take a whole lot when you study mob, behavior, right? It takes a few people to act and then it's on. And so they're leveraging that, and the people that are acting are there to act, not there to demonstrate. So, but at some point, you know, this stuff will all get into the public view as people get arraigned, as their backgrounds get scrutinized, as their phones and evidence gets introduced. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So we'll see what the president does today. And where I am, I would call out the military. You know, what would you wait for? What would you wait for? And I don't know that the nation's ever seen a challenge like this. I mean, the Weathermen Underground was a very, very small, whatever this is, right? it seems to be bigger. It seems to be bigger. Okay. And again, but like all things here on All Marine Radio, I believe that the point of departure is the truth. So Will's going to join me in about 25 minutes or so, 30 minutes, and we'll kind of I'll kind of lay out the truth. We'll talk about what is the issue that we're looking at, what is the perception of the issue, okay? What is the portfolio of things that you need to talk about to continue the downward trend, and then what's the problem here? Right, and what are the things that make this thing difficult? So, on Monday, good morning to you. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio, where I hope that you'll find articulate, footnoted truth. And again, I don't know anybody who is not repulsed by watching that video. And you know, and most of my friends, you know, I mean, they're Marines, and you know they just can't believe you're watching that. You know, why? You know, why? And so I don't think there's anybody that doesn't, you know, that doesn't believe that Mr. Floyd's life being taken from him was absolutely disgusting. Okay, the question is, where do we go from here as a country relative to the issue? Where have we been the last 5 years, and how do you continue that trend? So we'll talk about that. So good morning to you on a Monday. Welcome to All Marine Radio. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Dedicated to all the people out there who have worked for their lives and have seen their businesses and what they've worked to build in their life severely impacted by COVID-19. And then at a point where the nation was beginning to kind of think about opening back up, and people, you know, we'll get this thing pointed in the right direction and we can get through it, then had their businesses destroyed by people that have no other agenda other than destruction and stealing. And so this is dedicated to them. Hopefully, you know, they have insurance, they will be able to rebuild and all of that. But God bless you, the rest of the people, the good people of this country. You know, our hearts break for you, and good luck, and God bless you.
Our flag comes through to every river. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It's 8:42, time for us to check marine weather. Currently, it's sunny in 67 in Quantico, Virginia. Sunny in 74 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. It is sunny all the way up to 81 in 29 Palms, so going to be hot out in the desert today. Sunny in 68 at Camp Pendleton. Dark cloudy in 72 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 77 at Camp Butler in Okinawa. Early evening in Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 90 degrees. And in the western part of Iraq, it is sunny and 100 degrees. That's right. But it's a dry 100, so you got that going for you. Currently, it is fair and 68 here in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Looking for a high of 77 today and 76 tomorrow, and then back up to 77 on Wednesday. Just on a personal note, I have to tell you that I finished all my project yesterday. Yeah, I ripped siding off the back of my house. And then I was going to – I had to strip the concrete and then the glue off the patio. Let me tell you, God bless people that do manual labor, man. That's an ass kicker. I've been scraping glue for the better part of a week off that patio. And then I put down this – my friend used to – being marketing for Behr paints. If you go into Home Depot, Behr paints is the paint you see there. And so I painted the patio that terracotta color. It looks like, you know, that kind of pink maroon color. So I did that Saturday, and then got it all put back together yesterday and grilled salmon last night. And I even used one of the chef's thing where the chef talks about flipping salmon on a grill. Now, I've seen people that have baskets and do that. And I thought, that's a little dicey, man. I'm going to get this thing half cooked and then I'm going to try to flip it. Well, what I did was I started cooking it, you know, top down. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way to go. Exactly. Yeah. Mac discovery. Yeah. I don't know if the chef's going to come on this Friday, cause he said that being on for the hour was an ass kicker. So if he comes on, it'll be for a shorter period of time, but I'll have to ask him about it. It started, you know, topside, sunny side down. And it turned out perfect. Yeah. Here's an email. I agree with you, Mac. The man that murdered Mr. Floyd may or may not have been a racist. I don't know. But I know he's a sick person in the wrong job. He looked like he was dead inside the way he held that man down. Yeah, let me tell you, I mean, guys that are no stranger to death, you know, have watched that and said, man, that thing gave me the creeps. That thing gave me the creeps. And then one of the articles that I read of somebody that dissected the affidavit that charged him, as, you know, there's this narrative of the events in the thing. And in reading that, I mean, that's straight up creepy, too, that somebody took Mr. Floyd's pulse and said he's got no pulse, and he sits on him for another 2 minutes and 43 seconds. I mean, I don't know what that is. But, you know, if you say, is he a racist? Well, he's married to a Filipino girl. Or she filed for divorce over the weekend. That news came out, or late last week. You know, and I would venture to say that, you know, that in his defense, he'll say, no, he's got black friends, he has Hispanic friends. So I heard people say, you know, that's straight up racism. I don't see it as racism. I see it as a sick guy that's full of hate, and he doesn't see another human being there. He sees a piece of shit, and he doesn't give a fuck. But the calmness of his face, as, you know, and that's why, to me, you can't put people in those jobs for 20 years and expect that they'll ever be right in their lives, ever. No matter what they appear to you externally, you can't see that kind of shit for that long without being, in my opinion, fundamentally damaged. Breaking news from the Associated Press: amid nationwide protests over police killings of black people, President Trump tells governors that most of you are weak and urges tougher crackdowns on violence. They have to. Right? I mean, what are you going to do? See, you know, our major cities be looted? And I saw a report earlier today, and this is a woman. She said, look, at some point, people are going to take matters into their own hands. And the reporter says, what do you mean? They're going to start shooting people? And she said, well, let me just say this. At some point, they're going to protect what's theirs. And it's like, oh, shit, we're there? And if you don't get tougher on this shit, then, and again, I mean, much of it has to get laid at the feet of the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor of Minnesota. When people around the country watched that police precinct burn, in my opinion, that was a signal to people: it's on, and they're not going to stop it. And then you saw it spread around the country. So, I mean, obviously there's, and if you see the mayor of Minneapolis, I mean, that guy looks like he's a community activist, and he ran on reforming the police and all the rest of this shit, you know, and give the protest, you know, room to spend itself. We're not going to, no confrontation. And look where it got that guy. I mean, it's a bullshit narrative that he lives. It's a bullshit narrative that he lives. And so again, we'll talk about that with Will here in a few minutes. Here's another email. Mac, honestly, I was curious about what you said. No, I was curious about what you would say. So I tuned in live this morning. I normally listen on the podcast. I'm stunned to hear the data that you talked about earlier. Looking forward to hour two when you dive deeper into that. But I had not heard that over the weekend, and I agree with you that, not knowing, I just assumed those numbers were up and through the roof. I'm sitting here stunned. Why has nobody reported the truth and the progress that's been made over the course of 5 years? Well, again, so why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll take a break. We're going to do a quick check of the headlines. We'll take another break. Will Cosentini is going to join me, and we'll talk about this thing, right? This thing. So more of Auburn Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders, that's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right. To the news we go. Yeah, completely lost in this was like the launch of the SpaceX thing, right? I don't know if you watched that, but it was pretty cool. Americans launching from Florida. Colleen and I hung out and watched it on Saturday in between working on the back of my house, but it was pretty cool. And so Americans, I mean, and a great achievement. I mean, a private company involved in it. So Elon Musk, not your normal kid. You're familiar with Grand Forks, North Dakota. Top story in Stars and Stripes today is two are dead after shooting at North Dakota Air Base. A shooting early Monday has left two airmen dead at the Grand Forks Air Force Base in North Dakota. No further details have been released, although I've had people texting me that it happened in one of the barracks. The my favorite website, their top story is called Just the News. Black cop, white victim, no riots. 2017 Minneapolis killing foreshadowed failed police reforms. A decade of reforms inside the Minneapolis Police Department failed to stop two tragic killings by officers in 2017 and 2020. So, yeah, the pretty interesting, right? Pretty interesting article. So I'd recommend that to you. Also, unbeknownst to a lot of people, the 77th Secretary of the Navy was sworn in. Kenneth Brathwaite, a public affairs officer, initially a pilot, lat moved, and got out of the Navy as a rear admiral. That is in the news. And his first message to the fleet. Now, I'm curious about his message because I wonder if he uses the word Marine Corps. He does, right. The object of success of our service is simple, American sea power. America has been and always will be a maritime nation. America and our principles of freedom rely on sea power delivered by a strong and capable Navy and Marine Corps. Whew. That was a relief, right? That was a relief. Okay. Next headline. Protesters damaged Veterans Affairs headquarters, several D.C. monuments. I'm just trying to think. I'm curious about what monuments. At the World War II Memorial on the National Mall, vandals wrote, "Do black vets count?" along the main fountain at the center of the monument. And there's some pictures of it. Officials at the Paralyzed Veterans of America said that their headquarters was tagged with graffiti. So, I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to see if the Marine Corps National War Memorial was fucked with. Let me give you some advice. Stay away from that shit. Next headline. Louisville police chief. Police and National Guard enforcing curfew fatally shot a man after someone in a group fired at them. Police Chief Steve Conrad confirmed the shooting happened around 12:15 a.m. outside a food market on West Broadway, where police and National Guard had been called to break up a large group of people gathering in defiance of the city's curfew. Someone fired a shot at them, and both soldiers and officers returned fire, the chief said. It was unclear if the person killed is the one who fired on law enforcers. Several persons of interest were being interviewed. News outlets showed video taken by someone in a car parked at a gas station. It recorded the sound of bullets being fired as groups of police and National Guard soldiers crouched behind cars. It has been a very, very difficult 4 days for our city. Our officers are working very hard to keep people safe. While doing that, we have had officers shot at and assaulted. I think it's very, very, very clear that many people do not trust the police. That is an issue that we're going to have to work on and work through for a long time. And then top five stories in Early Bird, and then I'll get Will on here, and we'll kind of talk about what I wanted to talk about today, and that is we'll frame the problem. What's interesting is that the truth relative to the problem is not being discussed, right? And that's, what do you say to that? And again, the statistics are coming off the Washington Post website, which is no right-leaning organization. And this is not, in my opinion, a left or right issue. The data is what the data is, right? And so the truth matters, except to the American media, right? Except to the American media. Top five stories today. Number one, 5,000 National Guard troops in 15 states and the District of Columbia activated to help quell growing civil unrest. Yeah, the National Guard, supposedly the entire National Guard of Minnesota was mobilized in something that had never happened before, right? Second story, two, astronauts arrive at space station in SpaceX's Dragon capsule, which is kind of a pretty cool looking capsule, I have to tell you. It looks like you would think it should look, right? Number three, exercise to unite four combatant commands to test homeland defenses for the first time. Wow. So combatant command, right? NORTHCOM, SOUTHCOM, EUCOM, you know, all those, right? Central command, CENTCOM. So that's what they're talking about. Number four, in a fight to change the core, America's top Marine takes friendly fire. So this is out of the Defense News, and it's by a guy named David Lartner. And what he's talking about is General Berger's plan. Listen to this. In a scathing op-ed in the National Interest, former Senator and Secretary of Navy Jim Webb, who served as a Marine in Vietnam, blasted General Berger's plan, described in his planning guidance issued last summer as too narrowly focused on a single mission, raids on islands in the South and East China Sea. But in response to a question on Webb's op-ed at a small round table of reporters, Berger rejected the criticism, saying that while he welcomes, quote, informed debate, the Marines must pace the China threat, and that any force designed to take on China would be applicable all over the globe. So he's calling Jim Webb uninformed. I'm not sure how that's going to go for him, but all the best of luck to the Commandant on that deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Will Cosentini's going to join me. And we're going to talk. About this issue. First of all, what is the issue? We'll start with that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.